Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the overly hot and sometimes tricky voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's time now for The Food Show. It's a very easy concept. What we do here is we talk about food and anything even vaguely resembles food, and we talk about it, and we talk about it all day, or as much day as we can get going at one time. And we look at it from just about every imaginable way. And we hope you will do it as well, because nobody knows about every restaurant that ever was or every dish that's ever been savored. And so we ask you, if you've got a minute or two, to call us up and tell us what's brewing on your desk or in your table, whatever it is where you keep the food. 260-6368. What'd you say?
I said, in your world.
Well, you're not on there, it doesn't sound like.
Does it sound like I'm on?
Yeah. Uh-oh. Doug, does he sound like she's on? No, she doesn't. Okay. Yeah.
That, all right. Well.
You know, it happens every day, every now. Can you hear any better?
No, I'm obviously not.
Okay.
So you go ahead and do it.
Okay, any better? Any better over here? How about, that was the trick right there. That one right there. Don't mess with that one. 260-63. Huh?
Better?
Better,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
260-6368 is our telephone number, and we'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk about food, we'll talk about restaurants, we'll talk about cooking, and everything.
I want to talk about hovering.
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 Hovering. What do you mean? By hovering.
Hovering. Doug, can you hear me at all?
Crank it back a little.
Okay. How about that? Is that better?
There you go.
Okay. So I mentioned this yesterday, and I don't know if this would certainly not apply to the kinds of restaurants that you generally talk about, but it does apply to certain places that are incredibly busy and don't take reservations, and you just sort of have to mill about and wait for an opportunity to slip in and take a table. This is like maybe a fast casual restaurant. Since fast casual restaurants are getting more and more plentiful, this is sort of an issue for people, and it's kind of funny, so I was just wondering if anyone else had funny experiences with this. But I'm going to out you now, Tom.
Out me?
Yes. Tom is starting to spend an unnatural and disturbing amount of time as a barfly at Chimes in Covington. And as his sometimes unwilling accomplice, I have had a lot of experience. Chimes is a very busy place. Chimes is always busy. Waits at Chimes can sometimes exceed an hour, and people stay. Why is this? We don't know. The food is not great. The goats aren't even out entertaining people because it's too hot. But it's just one of those places that just has a lot of followers, for sure. And even though you do get seated in a large, like 90% of the building, you have to wait to be seated, there is the bar, which is a first-come, first-serve thing. On very busy days, the bar requires the skill of hovering.
Yeah.
Where you sort of mill around and you give the people that are at the table that you want the notion that you're not actually hovering, but you are very close to the table. So this is a skill where you have to pretend you are not doing what you are indeed doing. So the other day we were at Chimes, Mary Lee and Tom and I were all at Chimes. And I don't remember what time of day it was, but it was a 40 to 45 minute wait for a table. And what we've decided we're doing now at Chimes is we go and put our name in for a table, which is what we prefer. And then we go on over to the bar and kind of let them race each other where it's like the hovering versus the time elapsed for the table. So I figured that you can hover and get a table in the bar before you often will get a text saying that you should come to the hostess stand. This has worked out that way in every case. So the other day we were at Chimes and it was really, really busy. And Mary Lee took up a space at one end of the bar, and I took up a space at the other end of the bar, and we left Tom just standing there because he's not skilled at hovering.
So
Mary Lee and I were looking at each other. We made eye contact with each other, and we were giving each other sort of eye signals as to which one looked like it was going to empty first, and her table did. And so we then slipped in and sat at the table while it was dirty, which is gross, I will admit, but if you are in competition for tables, these things are required. So I was just wondering if anyone has any tips on hovering.
Yeah, 20%.
Thank you.
You know what that is going on there, it seems to me, is that on the North Shore, we really don't have any hangout kind of places that have any kind of quality, too, at the same time.
Chimes is open till 2 in the morning, which is shocking. Well, no one's open till 2 in the morning anymore.
Well, you know, there are people who work that late. You know, for one thing, waiters. If you want to look for people who keep late hours, check out waiters.
Well, I know, but what's interesting is a place like, I just used this the other day, Long Way Tavern, for example, which if ever there was a place that was going to be open till 2 in the morning, that would be it.
What's this?
And they're not open till 2 in the morning.
What is it?
It's just a tavern deep in the quarter.
Oh, so, well, in the French Quarter, you expect and get just about everything.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying this is the kind of place that you would surely expect to be open at 2 in the morning, but they're not. So I don't know where waiters are going after work.
I can tell you that, too. They're getting older.
Okay.
That's the story on them.
Well, that's a problem, then, because if they're only older waiters, then when they die off, who's going to replace them? If there's no service. But anyway, so Chimes is a place that is open till 2 o'clock in the morning, but that doesn't have anything to do with 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is when this was. And so we Mary Lee and I each had our position.
Mary Lee is our daughter, in case you're wondering.
Each had our position, and we had this skillfully coordinated, if I do say so myself. And, you know, you the way I hover is you survey the situation, and you see who's got boxes to go, who's got a check, and who just looks like they're hanging around. And, you know, that's step number one with hovering. If you're going to, you have to select your target. And then you have to skillfully get the table before the other people who are also hovering get it. Anyway, I was just wondering if other people hover for tables. Shake Shack is another place where hovering is essential.
If it's busy, you know, like a place like the
old... Is Cooter Brown's a hovering kind of place? Because we've been talking a lot about Cooter Brown's, and I've never been.
That's a different
I would imagine
kind of
that would be kind of a hovering place.
You have a special audience for that that restaurant, and you might be in it, you might not be.
Is this
but...
a specific bar thing? Because I don't usually go to bars.
They have certain kind of music there. They have oysters on the half
shell. Are we talking about Cooter
Brown's? Yeah.
I'm talking about hovering in general.
Oh, okay. Well, no wonder I couldn't figure it out.
I'm talking about hovering in general. Places that are inclined to be a heavy hovering place. And do you ever do it yourself? I mean, it is distasteful, I will admit.
No,
but required sometimes.
I get myself invited over to a lot of other tables.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't doing any of that.
Been doing any hovering? Well, that's right. You wouldn't move fast enough to hover.
No, well, there's that too.
It requires moving with lightning speed sometimes. I've even been about to go and get a table, and then someone will slip in front of me. That usually happens at the Shake Shack. Shake Shack's the worst, I got to say. Especially in a small place like that.
Shake Shack?
It's absolutely 100% essential.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. It's
Well, you don't get Shake Shack.
It's just an ordinary kind of fast food, you know, burgers, fries.
Well, you don't really get cult things, do you?
I get them. That doesn't mean I have to like them.
Well, no, what I'm saying, I don't think you get what makes something a cult restaurant. You know,
I don't either,
but I am usually among the cult. Among the cult.
This is the food show on 105.3 FM, HD2.
We have a caller.
And we have a phone call.
Hello, Mike.
From Mike, who
hello.
Is checking
hello,
in.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello to you.
I have to caution you that Barfly is only one step away from Lounge Lizard.
Oh, no, Tom has absolutely that tendency. I see it emerging every day. It's disturbing.
Lawn Lizard.
I think he'd hang anywhere that let him sing, you know?
Yeah, well, I admit to that.
You're absolutely right. But in Chimeseed, you don't sing. Of course, Tom is getting to the point where he sings just about everywhere. It's very embarrassing. But he's been hanging at the bar at Chimes with a disturbing amount of regularity. Do you ever hover anywhere, Mike? Have you ever tried that?
I generally don't go places nowadays without a reservation, to be perfectly honest with you, because I have no tolerance for waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And the only circumstances that I would is if I'm going with other people who want to be there, and I just kind of roll with it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I seldom initiate that sort of thing. If I know it's a place that's crowded all the time, I'll try to go in off hours. It's like I was saying about Leonardo's. I know you don't walk into Leonardo's at 6 o'clock in the evening and expect to sit down. It's not going to happen, you know.
Well,
but
now,
the main reason...
Go ahead.
No, you.
Okay, I was just going to say, but you don't hover at Leonardo's, do you? You have to be seated there, right?
I've never had a reservation going over there. I don't know if they take reservations. The time periods that I go, they generally say sit where you like, that type of thing.
Right. Okay.
But you don't arbitrarily just seat yourself.
Right.
No.
Exactly. Okay. All right. So that would not be a hovering kind of place. Go ahead. What?
Main reason I'm calling, I'm going to be going to Rizzuto's for the first time.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on Rizzuto's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
They have this oyster dish at the very beginning. I do not miss that. It is just perfect if you like that kind of dish. And even
or
if you
stuffed
don't.
Artichokes.
And it is just sublime. Love it. And then from there on, the Italian dishes are pretty good, but when they get into the steak stuff, and that includes not just steaks but also pork chops and things along the lines of lamb racks, and they handle that very, very well, and the steaks are first class. I've been nothing but impressed by all of that since they opened.
I was looking at the menu online, and they have an interesting cut of beef that you don't generally see. What it is, it's the rib cap.
And the rib cap, yeah. It has a bunch of other names, none of which I'm going to be able to remember.
You've had that, haven't you, Tom?
Yeah, it's sort of like a strip that runs, well, strip, I better not use that name because it's used for other things. But it is like a cap is a good word for it. And it kind of covers the rack of beef there to the extent of about 3/4 of an inch thick. It is. It's got a lot of fat in it, as you will notice right
Yum.
Away, and it's some kind of good, I think. And there are steak nuts who believe it's the best cut of all.
Well, knowing how unusual it is to find it on a restaurant menu, I think I'm going to be tempted to go that route.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think you'll be pleased by it. But it is off the bend. It's off the normal street.
Route. You know what?
Okay,
we haven't had anything at Rizzuto's that we didn't really like. And the reason I said stuffed artichokes when he was talking about the oysters is that they have sort of a stuffed artichoke taste because the coating on it is all the things that you get with stuffed artichokes. And it's really, really fantastic. I mean, if you like stuffed artichokes.
Yeah, I do. The oyster dish you refer to is the Italian-style oysters, like the oysters, oregano, that type of thing.
Yeah, it's along those lines, but it's got a little more finesse to it, and I think you'll be pleased with it first taste out of it. It's very good, and that's one of my favorite kind of things to eat, and when I find a good one, I remember it.
It's a good-looking place. Yeah, you'll
all
like
right.
it.
Thank you.
Give you a report. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Okay,
thanks.
Or give us a report, depending on what part of town you live in. And we love you no matter where.
206-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 HD2 FM. We are back. And if Michael 75 will be patient for just a minute, I want to tell you about New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, which has a great menu of hamburgers, as the name suggests. And they have delicious, crunchy on the outside, juicy on the inside burgers. And seafood, really great fried seafood. It is golden brown, as it should be, and hot and greaseless. They have platters that you can get with that seafood, and also poor boys. That's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, now serving char-grilled oysters. They have 10 locations where you can find all of that, and also great salads and wonderful local dishes. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Go see them at any of their 10 locations. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hello there. Come on.
Yeah, we've been... Oh, thanks. Real nice in there. First of all, my wife and I have been going to a lot of culinaries. And, in fact, we've gone to Pascal Manali's 3 times. It's so spectacular.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, who could blame you? I mean, we're talking about real food here now.
Right. They only serve this once a year during August, this special menu, which is with the best ravioli stuffed with mushroom and crab meat. It's the best I've ever tasted. And you get that, a shrimp cocktail, and a spectacular bread pudding for $18.
Oh, really?
So we've been 3 times already in the last 2 weeks, and we're going twice more this week.
Now, that's lunch, right? Because they have a different one at dinner.
Lunch. But I'm sure you can get this ravioli for dinner, too. It's awesome. It's spectacular.
Outstanding. Wow.
But okay, then we all – sorry?
No, go ahead.
There's another one. We're getting a lot of those lately.
We're just exclaiming in awe. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. So we went to the Windsor Court Monday. Mm. And this is what I had. A caprese salad, a great gumbo, a darkest – with the
I love their blue. Gumbo. Love it.
Yeah, a black drum, the best sweet potatoes I've ever tasted – and a sorbet, all that for $19, and a $2 martini was great.
Well, that's a steal.
We're going to come back to that one because that's one of my faves. Keep going.
Okay, well, that's it so far, but we're looking around for a few others. It's only been 2 weeks. We've been 7 times already.
Okay, well, the good news about the Windsor Court one is that menu has been on for, I think, since 2015, when they were celebrating their anniversary. So actually it's been on for a while. So it's what they call the Meat and Three, and it's their anniversary lunch. It's $19.84, and the menu is huge. You get to choose from like 5 different meats. You get all those different sides, so you get to pick 2 of them, one of which the gumbo would be included in. And then they have the little biscuits. Don't you love the biscuits, Michael?
Oh, yeah. I had to order a second order of the biscuits.
Oh, yeah. I think everyone does at least another order of those. Those are fantastically good to keep you entertained until you get to what is a substantial meal for $19.84.
Right.
I mean, you have to roll us out of there after that.
Yeah, and a cinnamon roll at that.
It's great, too. I mean, it's really delicious. I think their gumbo is absolutely one of the top 3 to me in town.
And the valet parking is free. And then you can go right across the street to Harrah's and win your lunch money back.
Yeah, oh, that works like a charm, doesn't it?
Well, I've not tried that, but I do love that Windsor Court. It's called the Meet and Three, our anniversary special, and it is running as the culinary this month, but you can get it long after that.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. We're going to be going there a lot more. By the way, I can teach you how to win there at the Harrah's. It's called Counting Cards. I taught a course in that, but they don't casinos don't like you when you do that. It's the only game that the casinos can lose at, remembering
Michael,
the cards.
Michael, can you count cards? Can you do it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've got a couple of cases. I was kicked out of places. I filed suits against them and got the money. But anyway, the counting cards, it's not that hard. It's a rote situation where you have to practice like the piano a lot, and then after a while, it's second nature.
You know what? I used to be such a good gambler. I when I was a kid, I know this sounds hard to believe, but my family used to go to the track once a year. Once a year, we would go for lunch at the track. And our whole family, we would actually bet on horses. And there was a time that I got 8 out of 10 races.
Wow.
Which is pretty impressive, I think.
When are you going to spend
Tom
the money?
And then Tom ruined gambling for me because he went into a casino with me a few times and it was just like he messed up my whole mojo. But I would love to know about counting cards.
Tom was that guy in the Little Abner cartoon. His name was Joe Blitzflick. He had a black cloud over his head everywhere he went.
I remember him.
Well, that's
by the way, if I would have met you when I was in law school, what I was always looking for is a young lady to take her out on a date for the first time that had never been to the racetrack before. And whatever she said, I knew a lot about horses, but I just followed her. So what would happen is we'd usually make money and everybody would be happy, had a great time. So the next time I talked to her, she said, are we going to the racetrack again? I said, no more dates. That's it. It only works one time.
Well, that's one way to get rid of them.
Well, I won't say what turned me off to horse racing. Have you been to the Kentucky Derby, Michael? Because I really would like to go.
No, I would never go there. I don't go to Mardi Gras. I don't like all those crazy crowds. You can't even see the races.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of about the party. It's on my bucket list to go to the Kentucky Derby.
That's what my wife said. My wife says, we need to go for the parties. I said, well, we can party enough in New Orleans.
Just the one time. Anyway. Oh, Tom's giving me his Kentucky Colonel card, so that'll get me something.
I don't know.
All right, Michael, thank you for calling. I hope to run into you at the Windsor Courts Meeting 3. Talk to you later.
Okay, great. Okay.
It's the food show.
If I do, I'm going to have him show me how to count cards.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's nice to be here with you talking about the food scene around town. And any way you want to play that game, you are more than welcome to do so. Anything on your mind about food, about restaurants, about cooking, wine, and the whole range of it, and dating, too. You know, a lot of people go to the casinos or even on casino cruises almost.
Tom, you're not going to try and give dating advice, are you?
Oh, sure I'm going to give dating advice. Why shouldn't I? I mean, look at all the success I've had. Everybody loves me. You know, so
100 degrees it is outside. Has anyone been, speaking of special menus, has anyone been to the Dickey Brennan temperature special menus? I think he does it at all of his restaurants. I could be wrong about that. I know Pal's Cafe does it, but has anybody been to one of those? Whatever the temperature is what you pay for lunch or dinner. I don't know.
I haven't this year, but it's pretty simple. They add $10 to the average of the highest number on the menu, and they give you that, or it's something like that. The details of it are.
Yeah, if anybody's been, give us a call 260-6368 or anything else that you would like to talk about. I threw out the subject of hovering. Because we had the little book of edible enigmas on the show the other day. And if ever there was an enigma, it is how to hover properly at a place where you need to hover. And I regret to report that Tom, Mr. Food Snob, is now hanging out at the Chimes, where hovering is kind of an essential skill. So I was just looking
I'm just there for the oysters.
I know you are, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if anyone else has any skill with hovering or would like to give us some pointers. It's not as difficult as counting cards.
I have a cocktail that I've been promoting.
Yes, you have.
Because it seems to be the most...
I think you started the Negroni thing locally.
I don't know about that. I've been drinking them for a long time, but I haven't had one lately because I'm very interested in a drink, really an old drink, called
half and half.
Half and half, thank you. And what you do with a half and half is you have the sweet or red vermouth. You know, there are two varieties on it that you see in bars and in shops and everything. So you've got that, the sweet and kind of vaguely red
vermouth,
thank you. And the other option is white vermouth, which is not particularly sweet. And it's white on the outside. You can kind of tell that. And you just stir it up with a little touch of your ice and shake it all up. And there you have it. And what's funny about it is that it has a lot of the qualities of a Manhattan, but it's less expensive and it's also less
alcoholic
because that's something that these days all of us, almost all of us have to pay attention to that. So there you go.
Okay. So
having dulled
you know what I find interesting about the half and half and not really, but the recipe, I looked up half and half because I've been sitting next to you when you say this at all of these bars and then go on to explain it to people. I finally looked it up to see what it was, and it's not really anything. It's kind of like
it's
whatever.
It's pretty simple.
It's like a half and half, what half and what half of what. It's like I've seen umpteen different recipes for a quote half and half. So it sounds to me like it's kind of whatever you want the half and half to be.
Yeah, well, that works. It's
and
pleasant
since you're happy,
enough.
And since you're happy to explain it to the bartender, it's not a problem.
No, okay. It's easy going. But I remember the first time I ever had one was at the old what was that? The $4.95 steakhouse that they used to do.
The Buck 49?
The Buck 49, that's it.
The
Buck 49, that's exactly it. It's owned by the same people, or was owned by the same people who owned out there in Metairie.
Riccobono's, Peppermill.
The Peppermill and all
the,
that.
The Tina Bella people and the
Riccobono's
Panola Cafe, that whole family.
We need a break here. We'll be back with more of the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, 260-6368. Call us, would you? We'd love to hear from you. Hi there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's wonderful for me to be here with you every day. I'm fooling around with the...
Yes, why are you doing that?
So I can speak without having my head ring. Well, anyway, it is nice to be here, and we'd love to hear from you. No matter what that thing is that you're going to lay on us, we want to hear it. 260.
I'd like to hear some culinary reports.
68. 260. Yeah, that's a great idea.
260-6368. Some culinary reports. If you've been to a culinary, I wanted to go to the culinary at GW Finn so badly last night.
Yeah.
If I hadn't been super full from lunch, but did anyone go to the culinary at GW Finn's last night? I would really like to hear about it, or any night, any place, because the culinaries are on till the end of August, and there are some good deals out there, and there are a lot of not so good deals out there.
Oh,
best
yeah, really?
Culinary, I agree with you, Tom. Best culinary is the Pelican Club.
Oh, it's they're got, so consistent.
It's got a terrific amount of choices, and I like choices. So if you're limiting me to three choices and I'm not really crazy about any of them, why in the world would I want to pay $40 when I could order off the menu?
I think you would be a fool.
And do better. But there are some good ones, and I think the GW Finn's one is an excellent one.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arno's has a good one.
Very good, and it's such a great-looking restaurant.
Yeah.
Good
this,
service.
This others. Anybody else go to that Barraza place in Metairie? I would like to try that.
Yeah.
We went to Fogo, believe it or not. We went to Fogo de Champs. That was because it was Mary Lee's idea. And I do love that place, but I don't know that I would go and I don't know that I'm going to do the meats anymore at all. I just I'm not eating that much.
You go to Fogo de Chao and not eat meats?
They have an incredible salad bar.
That's Everybody seems to like that.
Absolutely mind-blowing for the price. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we talked a little bit about hovering. I was curious to see if anyone else has a skill that has the skill of hovering and would like to impart some little tips on it because we're needing it a lot more now. I like to go to Shake Shack where hovering is absolutely required. Neither the space nor the parking lot is big enough at the Shake Shack for the number of people that go there. And I think that's kind of true across the board of Shake Shack, period, any place you go. Also, we've been using it at the Chimes, and anyone who has to use it any place, I would like to hear if you have developed a particular skill at it. What I need your help.
Speaking of hovering, brings up the Pope Benedict XVI, as a matter of fact.
Is hovering?
The Pope really never learned how to drive a car at all.
But he did
have a helicopter pilot's license, which, of course, brings up the subject of hovering.
I was wondering what that had to do with anything, Doug, but that is clever. Thank you for inserting that. I don't know how that was that somewhere that you just, or did you just automatically, where did that come from?
I'm very automatic. Thank you.
Okay. People say that when you break in, Doug, that means that you have sensed that we are desperate. We're not desperate here. I just want to let you know.
Desperate?
I've got another topic I'm going to throw out. I was in the store this morning, and right in the front of the aisle, was a display of candy.
Oh.
And the kind of candy that I used to think was good, but now I've moved on to much more exclusive gourmet kinds of candies. And when I say that, I don't mean expensive, because the 72% Belgian chocolate at Trader Joe's is $5 for a pound. So we're not talking about expensive, but I don't eat milk chocolate, generally speaking, and I used to love Hershey bars with almonds. So my question to you, if you are out there and would like to indulge in this with me, do you have a secret, like a dirty secret of some thing that you find irresistible, that you know you should not eat under any circumstances, but you do? Like, Cheetos used to be my thing. I used to have a real Cheetos thing. No matter how disgusting it made my fingers. I mean, Cheetos are kind of disgusting, you know?
There's a great joke on the subject, but I won't be able to tell it to you here.
Okay. Well, anyway, do you have a thing where you go to the store and you see it and you have a mental wrestling match as to whether or not you're going to go down that road, and you know it's really bad for you, and you know you absolutely have no business eating it, but you just love it for whatever reason, like maybe you grew up with it or something, and you just can't resist fill in the blank? Because those opportunities are everywhere at the store. I mean, everywhere. I used to like Reese's peanut butter cups, too.
I still like
Reese's peanut butter cups. Wait, you don't or you do?
I don't.
I love them. I love Reese's peanut butter cups. Jude was really on a Reese's peanut butter cup.
He was, when he was a kid. For a long,
that was his go-to for sure.
Yeah.
And then I kept giving them Reese's peanut butter cups, and he said, Mom, I don't eat that anymore. So he's moved on. But then I used to go to his house, and I would see in one corner of the counter the most ridiculous pile of sugary crap is what it was. It would be baked goods from Trader Joe's. If I see baked goods in any grocery store, it's like poison to me. I mean, I wouldn't even think about looking at them twice, because it's just all those things that we were talking about the other day as absolutely poison. It might as well be
spring.
No, it might as well be the apple that has the blue smoke curling off of it, you know, from Snow White. Anyway, anybody else have any of those thoughts when you walk through the supermarket? You are tempted by something, usually from your past, that you are glad that you've moved past. And every now and then, though, it gets you. It gets you.
This is the Food Show, and it's nice to be here talking about the food angle from just about every direction, and we would love to hear from you with that or anything else on your mind. 260-6368, 260-6368. Call right now. You'll get right in, and we would be more than happy to talk to you about, or talk with you even, about any of the culinary adventures that you have seen or thought
about. Or the culinary adventures this month.
The culinary is the big thing right now.
Culinary,
this is the month of August and sometimes into September. You have restaurants all over the city sending out some, generally speaking, very, very good food at prices that are almost seem ridiculously low.
Well, I don't really think $40 is low. $40 is not low. If you think about that, $40, then you get a drink, and I don't mean an alcoholic drink, any kind
water.
Of. Well, no, I mean, I would get iced tea, so that'd be another $5. But if you get an alcoholic drink, you're talking about, you know, much higher than that. That is not a cheap meal. That's $50 a person. So for $50 a person, you ought to get exactly what you want.
Well, we wound up looking for that at Galatoire's last night.
Yesterday
afternoon, actually. And my favorite aspect of Galatoire's showed itself the minute I got there, and that was a table that had about a half a dozen people on it who were in the class of 1968 at Jesuit High School, which is, I have a demi-claim to that myself, and there they were, and we just sat around and shot the breeze for a while. And then had a lunch there, which was their special summertime menu.
No, it was the filet mignon special.
Yeah, and
that they had.
Frankly,
you didn't get the culinary.
Yeah, well, you could go either way with it. It was a funny, it was strangely written.
We started to go to Galatoire's 33 Bar and Steak because that's where the filet mignon thing was.
Couldn't get in. They're not
well,
open.
Well, no, they're not open for lunch.
We didn't know that.
So we went next door to Galatoire's, and that's where we wound up. But you know what? Galatoire's 33 Bar and Steak is a beautiful restaurant.
Oh, I think so.
I think it's extremely handsome. The actual restaurant is deep into the building, and the bar itself is, it's like
right
two different restaurants, but it's quite beautiful. It's handsome is the word. It's a handsome place. Anybody go to Galatoire's 33 Bar and Steak? And I think they have a pretty good happy hour too.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but this I do know. They are not longer open for lunch during the week anyway. I don't know how it is on the weekends.
Maybe it's Friday or
something. But the place in the main dining room, which is absolutely the place you want to be, no matter where you pick it, that's the place. And they were pretty full up with that, so no problems there.
Well, it's a place that I would like to go back for dinner sometime.
Oh,
I keep forgetting about it. When I think about steakhouses in town, I never ever think about it, but we have quite a number.
Good.
We have quite a number of good steakhouses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whenever I think about, like, I gave a recommendation to someone who has an anniversary coming up because it's a birthday,
mm-hmm.
and to celebrate the birthday, she and her husband are having a staycation without the kids, which implies some romance. So I told her that I think she should go to Dory's Metropolitan because that is, in my opinion, the coolest steak place in town.
It's pretty cool, all right, and the steaks are something else, as well as their aging process, which they will allow to go as much as like 60 days, I've heard them say.
Well, it's European, you know? I mean, it's Israeli.
Yeah.
And so it's got that unique look to it. But we also have a lot of other really good steak places in town, and they may not be sexy, but they're good. Is it Steve or Steven who's on the line?
Steve.
Yes. Steve.
Yes, I wanted to say, if you're getting out of that thing for $50, you're not tipping.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like the meal itself is $50.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're looking $60 to $65.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so if you want to be able to get what you want,
tip,
huh?
That is not, you know, no, that's a lot of money as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I want to get what I want if I'm spending $65.
Exactly. Now, if what you want coincides
is
with
there.
What the restaurant is offering, that's great.
Yeah.
But
right.
If it doesn't, then I'm certainly not going to get the culinary. I'm going to go ahead and order for the regular.
And I'm also going to wonder, is the culinary, are they giving you the same portions they would on a normal if you ordered
it? It seems to me
I think there are. Usually, yeah.
But once in a while, something might slip by. But I haven't really noticed anything that's been out of whack.
Yeah, I'd say usually, yes. Maybe at lunch, I don't know, but yes, generally.
And my poison in the grocery store, Snickers.
Snickers?
Yeah. I haven't had one in probably 5 years.
You know,
is that a challenge when you see Snickers to fight it
Absolutely.
Off, or you just okay? It is.
Well, thank God I can't see them.
I don't even like Snickers. I never have my entire life.
You're weird.
Even.
I think that sentiment has been advanced a few times. Go ahead.
But what I've noticed in the last couple of years. Is that if you pick up one out of the rack in the supermarket or the Walgreens or wherever it is you happen to be, you'll see that there's a different word on the top of the wrapper every time I go. I mean, every time I go.
Oh.
It says,
what's the word, Tom? It's like a little password or something? What are you talking about?
No, you don't have to. What you will see is you'll pick up a Snickers,
yeah.
And they're in the same font that is used in the rest of the rest of the candy. Except that it's a different word. Totally. Go look and you'll see.
Okay.
Well, they do have the almond and the peanut and the.
They've got all of that, but they changed the name.
Okay.
But
right.
And they only change it once, so if you come back again, it's going to be a different name. Go over there and look at it. The first time I saw it, then the 15th time I saw it, I said, wait a minute, something's going on
here. Okay.
So somebody, if you've got a minute, call.
I'm going to go do that today, Tom. I'm going to go do it today.
Yeah, let us know about that, Marianne.
I will. I'll give you a report tomorrow. All right.
It's the little things in life.
Thank you, Stephen. 260-6368 is the number. 260-MENU. We are talking about, the usual gamut of anything. We were talking about steakhouses before Steve called. And now we're back on talking about things that get you when you go to the store. I have this thing, and it's always the 2 for $5. And so Doritos. They do a 2 for $5 Doritos. And I used to love the Cool Ranch. And then it became Cooler Ranch. And then it went back to being just Cool Ranch.
The Cool
again.
Ranch.
And then they had the Nacho Cheese Doritos. And then it became Spicy Nachos. And now I go for the Spicy Nachos. Forget about the Cool Ranch. I'd much prefer the Spicy Nachos. But Spicy Nachos has the same kind of finger disgusting situation that Cheetos has. So, but every now and then I keep a stash in the pantry because, like I say, I'm a 2 for $5 sucker. So it's in the house. These things are in the house, in the pantry, just calling to me. And I usually do resist them, but every now and then I will succumb.
Yeah.
And we have someone on the phone. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Whoa, good. Listen to that.
Hello.
Yes. Welcome to the food show.
Is this
Who's
Pam?
This? Pam?
Ann.
Okay, close enough.
Okay. Hi.
Thank you for calling. What's up?
I'm looking for a recommendation for a restaurant.
Oh, good. That's what we do.
Tomorrow night in the French Quarter. And I don't have a really large budget, but I have heard y'all talking about the culinary, and I did look up a couple of places, but I wanted to see what you thought. I did look up, like, the Redfish Grill, and I think it's 35, but like Marianne said, it's only, like, three choices. And so I didn't know if you had any other recommendations in around that budget range, or would it be better
to
do
a lesser price? Well, the culinaries are all in that same budget range. The culinaries top out at 39.
Wait. Hey, girls. One at a time. I'm sorry. I couldn't make out either one of you there for a minute. Who's taking over?
Go ahead, Tom.
No, I'm not taking over. This is a conversation.
It's $39. The culinary tops out at $39. I've never seen one higher than that.
It's really a terrific bargain, and you can look it up on their website, FQFI.com.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
That's French Quarter Festival, Inc. The French Quarter Festival puts this on ultimately. But it is not a commercial, fill your pockets with or take all the money out of your pockets. It is, it's very well put together, and the variety is tremendous.
It's kind of a special occasion. We're meeting my daughter's boyfriend for the first time.
Ooh, and the plot thickens.
He's not from here, but he does like New Orleans food. And we don't eat a lot. We're from the North Shore. We don't eat out a lot on the South Shore, but I've been to like the Redfish Grill and like that place and type of food. So I was just wondering if you had any other suggestions, something we might particularly look at.
I'll tell you my number one on the list. It's
Pelican Club.
The Pelican Club.
Reason is that
huge variety.
It's 10 choices.
Terrific. Yeah, a lot of choices.
Yeah.
A lot of price is within reason. You'll like that one.
Yeah, the price is $39. Now, I'm going to tell you that I've seen this on a lot of menus, too. If it's a more expensive item, there'll be a +2 or a +3 or a +6. So then it stops being $39. But at the Pelican Club, there are about 10 choices of appetizers, of entrees, and 2 or 3 desserts. And in the $39, probably 8 or 9 of the choices will fall into the $39 range. So it's not like there's one $39 and everything else is a plus. There's really only 1 or 2 plus something.
Yeah, it tend to be steaks.
So it is, for the Pelican Club for culinary, that is their August menu. Okay, so you couldn't go to the Pelican Club and not do culinary in August. But the menu is extensive, and it's just like eating at the Pelican Club for only $39. Okay?
Well, I've never
so that's
been there,
where you're going to have the most choices.
Okay. I've never been there before, so it might be something we might want to consider.
That's a good one.
And I love the Redfish Grill, too, but Pelican Club is a much more upscale place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're meeting the daughter's boyfriend, just between you, mom to mom. So Dish, how long have they been going out?
Oh, since about Easter.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old is your daughter?
20.
Oh, so she's young. Okay, so she's young.
She goes to school out of town.
Uh huh. Okay. And does this seem like the one?
Well.
That's why you're meeting. Well, call us and give us a report. Forget about the food. We want to hear about the date.
Okay.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking with you. But that is an exciting thing when you meet the boyfriend or the girlfriend.
Yeah, it is.
It's tense.
Okay.
It's tense. Yeah. Good luck with it.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. 2606368. We are talking, we're talking all kinds of stuff. We were talking steakhouses and culinaries and your deep, dark food secret, that thing that calls to you either from your pantry as it does mine or from the grocery store. What do you find just about irresistible and you have to muster everything to resist it.
And mustard is good.
Yes.
Stay tuned. We have more of the food show coming. And then we will talk about all these things some more and a few things we haven't gotten to yet. Or whatever you've got on your mind, as always. 260-6368. The news is next over most of these same frequencies from CBS to Columbia Broadcasting System.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.